Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Howard Eskin podcast. I will start posting podcasts probably weekly, but I thought I should post an interview. Actually, it's not an interview. I prefer to call it a conversation that I had with the Phillies general manager, Matt Klentak. And I did it on WIP over the weekend when I was in Clearwater, Florida, and talked about a lot of things. And I thought he was very candid. I thought he was very open. As of the time of this recording, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado have not signed with anybody yet. I can't see that happening anytime quickly because I think the agent, Scott Boras, is just really kind of using people and playing with people, and he's putting out information through his mouthpieces on blogs and writers just to try to get teams to flinch and offer more money. But whatever, Matt Klentak, and a lot of people made comments, so I thought I should post it in case you have not heard it, and it will be on my podcast. And let's go ahead with the conversation. And when I come back, I'll talk about the Bryce Harper situation and my feelings on Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and where the Phillies stand and the NBA All-Star Game. So let's listen to the conversation that I had with the Phillies general manager, Matt Klentak. WIP. We were just talking football with Matt Klentak because why talk about baseball? I mean, it's only spring training.
We're staring out at a beautiful field on a bright sunny day in Clearwater. Let's talk about football.
I've said that, and the guy brought me, you see, brought me Tasty Cake because they have it down here now.
Spoiler alert for the listeners, Howard's wearing an Eagles shirt.
Okay, listen, I don't have a Philly shirt. I get team-issued stuff. What can I tell you? And you're wearing
Philly's gear. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do. All right, Matt. People have the biggest question, and we know the baseball team, there's some questions with the team you have now. And let's just go right off the bat. I'm tired of the drama. I'm tired of the reports every day, which prove to be inaccurate. When does the Phillies organization and you say, you know what, let's get it done one way or the other, let us know?
Yeah, the best advice I can give you if you don't like the reporting, the misreporting, don't listen to it. Don't read it. That's what I do.
Well, it's social media, which is not social and not media.
Yeah, I guess I have the advantage of knowing if something's going to happen or not, so right. I don't get caught up too much in the rumors. But I'm certainly aware of them. You know, whether it's you or just people around the office that will let me know when something's going on. But you know, the best way I can answer that is that it's not solely up to us. Or any team for that matter, or any agent or player for that matter, to reach the finish line on any contract, a player and his agent have to line up with the team, and to do that, I think, again, I'm not exactly in the heads of these players and these agents, but I think they want to know where all teams stand firmly before they can, make the proper decision. So.
How long does it take him to know? Let's be honest. And I'll never forget the comment that Scott Boras made last year when you had, and I was here, when Jake Arrieta signed. And he says, well, teams don't really want to compete anymore because he wanted $200 million and he ended up with $75. They do want to compete, but they don't want to compete at your numbers.
Yeah, I don't think, for two consecutive offseasons, I think I can safely say, I don't think anybody has accused us of not spending or not wanting to compete. We've been fairly aggressive at whether it's free agency or more recently in the Real Muto trade. But Andy touched on this yesterday, and when he did his sort of state of the Phillies assessment, you know, he had gone through some of the numbers, and you know, from February 15th through the end of spring training last year in that, you know, month and a half period. You know, major league teams committed over $500 million to free agents. And I don't know if that's exactly what's going to happen this year, what those numbers will be. But it's, you know, the landscape of free agency is clearly changing. And is it because, you know, teams are less willing to commit? Is it a strategy on the part of, you know, certain agents to drag things out? I don't know. I don't know the exact answer, but I do know this, you know, as a general manager or as anybody working on the management side in a negotiation, you have to be willing to make adjustments to the evolving market. And, you know, we got out pretty early to sign McCutchen, you know, after we'd made the trade right. with Seattle, and that opened up an outfield spot. And, you know, then Robertson was, you know, right around the New Year's holiday. And, you know, we've made moves in a pretty steady fashion all winter. And it just so happens that the big move, you know, that fans are waiting for, it may in fact be the last one, but there's only so much we can do about that.
You know, although some people on this radio station don't like the things that you do or don't do, I'm one that I believe what you said the other day, because I said the same thing. You are a better baseball team, and you laid out the money, the numbers that you spent in the offseason, so you're better. You're still a team that can win the NL East without Bryce Harper. You know, but every day a player's asked about that. I feel bad for Nick Williams, who's represented by Boris, because I asked him the other day. I waited till the reporters left. I said, you're represented by Scott Boris, yeah? Has he said anything to you just to kind of reassure you? Hey, listen, whatever happens, we'll try to find a good place for you if they trade you. Said nothing. That's not fair to him to have to wait. And you know, you sit there and you smile, but that's the case. That's not fair to anybody on this team when we ask him about it all the time.
I think we come into our camp and we have to do this, whether it's myself or the manager or the players. We're here. We've got 60 guys in camp, and our job, you know, beginning a couple days ago, is to get ready for the season with the group of players we have, because right now that's what we know we have, and that has to be our focus. And, you know, whether it's Nick Williams or anybody else, he has a job to do. He's got to get ready for a season, and there's always going to be other things that come up. There's always going to be other factors, things that you can't control. And, you know, all we can control is our effort level, our work, our attitude, and I give all of our guys a lot of credit.
Okay, you hear players whine about Evan Longoria. Well, we worked all our career to work for free agency. I don't know what he would get. I'm just going to use $150 million. And you're talking to the average American makes $40,000 a year, and he's worried about making more than $150 million, whatever that might be. But the point is, they keep on whining about suppressing the market. So my question to you is it suppressing the market or teams getting smarter and not paying for past performance, but using analytics, which I'm not a big fan of all the time, to project out that they're not worth that number for 6, 7, 8 or 10-year contracts? Is that part of the issue here?
There were a lot of questions in there.
Yeah, I know, but the long-term range, yeah. You're not suppressing the market. You're just paying, you're getting smarter.
There's a lot of variables that go into it, one of which is, you mentioned it, is, you know, we the Phillies, and I suspect many other teams around the league, are getting better at our abilities to project out and what players may accomplished later in their careers. And, you know, I don't know that anybody's really said this publicly, but, you know, taking PEDs out of the game, as, you know, has happened in the last handful of years, that's changed the way players age, you know, on the field.
And that's actually a great point.
And you know, we have to adjust for that, kind of like I said earlier in the segment. You know, all we can do is adjust to the information that we have. And as if we know players you know, begin to decline at a certain age, and then, by the way, this is very it's an individual thing. Every player is going to be different, we know that, but for the sake of this conversation, it's easier to kind of bucket it. But but teams have money, and they want to do everything they can to put the best team on the field to win. And you know, to the more efficient that you can allocate your dollars, you know, the more margin for error you have, and ideally, or in a perfect world, the better team you have. And do some teams have higher revenues than others? Of course. This is no secret. Some teams carry much higher payrolls. Some teams are ready to bust through the luxury tax threshold. Some are not. There's obviously different teams and different behaviors and all that. But I think, by and large, teams are trying to do similar things, which is win as many games as possible with the most efficient allocation of their payroll. And that doesn't mean, you know, that on one other part of your question before I turn it back over to you, you know, last year it was, I guess the Phillies weren't quite yet in the same go-for-it mode. The perception of our, you know, playoff contention status was not the same last year as it is now, so it might have been somewhat muted. But we were having the same conversations this time last year about Jake Arrieta. And Jake Arrieta ended up signing in March 11th for 3x25, you know, a huge AAV, maybe not the years that a lot in the media right. were projecting, but certainly no slouch of a contract. And the same was true of J.D. Martinez. The same was true of Eric Hosmer. The same was true of Greg Holland. And the same was true of, and I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden, but the right-handed pitcher that signed with the Orioles, Alex Cobb.
Right.
Got it. There we go. And some of those happened in February. Some of them happened in March. But eventually, you know, all these players signed and got pretty big contracts. So it's the timing that's different now. And I know that it's hard to adjust our mentality from free agents signed before Christmas and we go into the holidays and we know what our team looks like. And then we can kind of coast through January and February leading up to spring training. That's not the way it is anymore. And I can't tell you exactly how we got there, but our job is to adjust to the present conditions and make the best decisions we can.
If you had a choice between Harper or Machado for this baseball team, who would you rather have?
I've received that question roughly 30,000 times in the last.
I know who I'd rather have.
I you just said it. I think both of those players fit our team really well in terms of their on-field performance, in terms of their age. They help us in unique ways. I would be thrilled to have either guy.
Okay, that's a total compliment.
I'm the GM. What am I supposed to say?
I know,
Machado,
the left side of the infield would be locked down solid defensively if Machado came. And Harper's kind of an average defensive outfielder. And their offense, you know better than I with this analytics nonsense.
You're such a dinosaur, man.
Analytics nonsense. The games will be 6 hours long when you start changing. September, I'm telling you, these guys, and Gabe, I'm okay with Gabe, but in September when he has all those relief pitchers, it's just, you know.
You know, the one thing.
It's like a smorgasbord out there.
And I appreciate, I know you make this distinction, and so I'm teasing you about this, but like there's two different components to what, you know, you say analytics nonsense. All you have to do is watch the playoffs, and it's the Dodgers, it's the Brewers, it's the Red Sox, it's the Yankees, it's the Astros. It's what are these teams doing? They're doing what we do and more. So, like, there's nothing that is unique to the Phillies in the way that we're implementing information to make decisions. Is it new relative to prior Phillies teams? Of course it is, but it's new for the current Brewers, Astros, Red Sox, Yankees teams too. So that is a competitive matter where if we want to compete with the best teams in the league, we have to do that. So that's really, you know, to me, we don't have a choice. The second matter, and I think Howard, this is the one that bothers you more, is what it means for the sport.
Right.
It's not really a Philly-specific issue as much as it is a baseball issue.
No, right. I understand it.
And I get that. And I think that is where, you know, is it slowing the game down? Is it boiling the game down to math and numbers and sort of not the beauty of the game? I'm guessing a little bit at your point here, but I get that, and I hear that a lot. And not only do I hear that, the commissioner hears that, you know, and the owners hear that. And, you know, fans are the ones that often are saying that. And, you know, as a league, we exist because of our fans. The fans are the most important thing we have.
You can't bore them.
So we have to at least be aware of what the fan concerns are as we move our game forward. And the one thing I have, you know, I know I worked for Rob Manfred for a few years earlier in my career. I know a lot of the people in that group in the commissioner's office, and I know the union leadership is really strong and the players have some strong opinions. It's not, frankly, my job to sit here and tell you which rule changes I think we need to implement and how many seconds we need to shave off or minutes we need to shave off. I have enough of a, you know, my focus is in other places and I'm plenty busy with that. But I do know this, that every time we have league meetings with, you know, general managers meetings or owners meetings or anything, we are always talking about this. There are always ideas being thrown around. How do we pick up the pace of the game? How do we make it more fan-friendly? How do we make things more interactive? And there's a lot of really smart people on both sides of the aisle that are working on that, and I'm confident that over time that we will make those changes. Will it be a bunch of radical changes all at once? I don't know. That's not historically the way baseball's operated, but it may be, you know, smaller changes rolled out over longer periods of time, where we look up in a few years and we say, "Damn, we made some pretty significant changes."
I've heard a possible rule change that a relief pitcher would have to pitch to three batters, and now and that's part of analytics is you have more relief pitchers because you don't believe your starters should go. I mean, the Robin Roberts days will never, ever in six lifetimes see 36 complete games. I don't know if we'll ever see seven or eight anymore in a season. But because of that, would you be in favor of having a relief pitcher have to pitch to three batters?
You know, I'm not really going to dismiss anything. I think the big thing, in my opinion, is we just need to anticipate the unanticipated consequences as well as we can. And just understand if we implement that rule change or some other rule change, well, what's going to happen there? How's that going to change the way that we build rosters? How's that going to change the way that we develop players in the minor leagues? How's that going to change the economics, you know, from the player's perspective? I think that is the big question. I've always looked at it, whatever the rules and the parameters are, we just want to know what they are, know that they're not going to change so that we can plan for it, build for it, and we will do so in the most effective and efficient way possible. And the final point I'll make on that, as a league, and I voiced this to the league, I think we just need to be careful about changing a rule on March 1st that takes effect on April 1st, and that changes the way you would have constructed your roster, because I just don't think that's fair to not just to the Phillies, but really to anybody. So whatever changes are implemented, I like the idea of having some period of time to prep for that, whether that's a full season or, you know, multiple months or something.
All right, let's look at this team. A caller called earlier and said, what's plan B at third base? Because he's not excited about the Franco Kingery platoon system, but that's who you have. Are you comfortable with that system right now?
I think plan A is Kingery and Franco, or Franco and Kingery. I don't mean to put it in one order to the other. You know, Michael Franco's 26 years old and, you know, had, in a lot of respects, the best year of his career last year. And can he be better? I believe he can. I don't think we've seen the best of him, and I hope he will get better. This is a small thing, but I think it's somewhat significant, and you saw him. He looks great right now.
Yeah,
he really did take his off-season conditioning very seriously, and you know he's a big dude, but he looks pretty strong right now. So that, and Kingery too. Kingery's bulked up to try to make sure he doesn't wear down throughout the year. So I mean, plan A, because that is our plan, is to have one of those guys or some combination of those guys playing third base. And I like that. We think Kingery's, you know, learned a lot last year through his struggles and through the adjustments he had to make. We believe Franco, because of his experience and what he's learned, should get better. And really, you know, plan B would be, you know, someone from the outside. But we don't know if plan B could ever happen, so we need to focus all of our attention right now on the field on what we view as plan A.
All right. Starting pitching. People are concerned. You can answer it. I can't see assigning a starting pitcher now. So the point is, are you okay with it? Can you wait till during the season? If you need something, go out and get somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the July market typically has, you know, a variety of different options you can turn to, whether it's on the mound or position players. And, you know, last year, you know, we were focused on upgrading shortstop and catcher when we were able to find those spots, added a little depth in the bullpen, et cetera, et cetera. So typically you can find what you're looking for in the market. The challenge is it's not a great feeling to get into July, have a glaring need, have only one option, and then you got to, you know, pay through the teeth to get it. So that can be, that's not a great feeling. Ideally, you would like to avoid that. But if you need to address it in July, I think you can. But I say that, and I'm not anticipating that being the case. I think we line up at the front of the rotation, you know, with, you know, with probably anybody in the National League, with Nola and what will likely be an improved Arrieta, given that he's got a full spring training to get ready, whereas last year it was, you know, very much abbreviated
because of his agent,
because he signed late, and I think we're expecting an improved Arrieta, and the guys that, you know, that I'm bullish on our young starters, and I know that can elicit eye rolls sometimes because we haven't seen it consistently, and I get that, but Nick Pivetta was. So many things he did last year were so good, and the one thing that wasn't good at all was the defense behind him, and that's not a newsflash.
I pointed well that out before you got here.
Yeah. And so I think if you even just take – if you just put a neutral, average, baseline defense behind Nick Pivetta, he's pitching much more like a, you know, mid to front of the rotation starter than a back end guy. Velasquez, we've seen the flashes. Eflin got way better last year. His strikeout rate was, you know, almost twice what it was the year before. And beyond that, and those are five, obviously, but you know, for example, we had a meeting early this morning. We do these, you probably know, we do these right. Individual player meetings where we sit down with them early in the morning throughout the course of spring training and talk about their strengths. Talk about areas where we think they may be able to improve. Tell them, explain to them what we believe the path to them becoming a big leaguer is, or if they're a big leaguer already, the path to becoming an all-star, whatever it might be. And this morning, I single him out only because it just happened a couple hours ago, but we met with Cole Irvin, and who's, you know, the International League Pitcher of the Year last year, really did everything he could possibly do. He's smart. He's mature. He makes adjustments. He's got good stuff. We were able to show him some things that we think could make his stuff play even better. But what the hell else can this guy really do other than he needs an opportunity? And last year we had five starters in the big leagues doing well for most of the year, and none of them got hurt. And Cole Irvin pitches in AAA all year and dominates. But I take a great deal of comfort in knowing that we've got more than just Cole Irvin, but we've got a lefty in AAA who has stuff, has smarts, he's mastered the level, he's ready. So if we need a guy at some point, whether it's for a spot start or for 2 weeks or for 2 months, that we've got a bunch of guys in our system that are ready to grab hold of that opportunity. So, and to finish the point, if I'm wrong, then we pivot in July and we go at it. But I'm not that worried about that.
You know, the situation with Aaron Nola, I shouldn't use the word stole because the market is the market. But it seems like you set the level because Cerevino signs, 2 days later at similar numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought he should have gotten more, but the market obviously has changed. And maybe Cerevino's agent realized that and said, okay, let's take it.
Yeah, I'm not exactly familiar with the Yankees or Severino, what they were thinking exactly, and more familiar with, you know, what we were thinking with Nola and thus what Nola was thinking. But it's not that surprising. I think, you know, a lot of you've heard players and teams over the years say things about, I just want to be treated fairly, right? I'm sure you've heard that in other
I've
sports
said the
too,
same thing
in other
my
sports
situation.
Too. Yeah. And sometimes when there's a recent contract signed, a comparable contract signed, it makes it easier to define what is fair, or what is market, or, you know, I'm not alone in this. It's not quite as risky a proposition. And again, I am not privy at all to what happened to the Yankees, but I don't think that it is that uncommon in baseball history that you see one contract signed and then, you know, a few days, a week later, another one happens. It happened a few years ago. We signed Herrera, Odubel Herrera, to his contract. And it might not have been 2 weeks later, Ender Inciarte, similar service time, similar position, similar track record, signed an almost identical contract. So it doesn't always work that way.
Right.
But Severino had his hearing on – Nola's was scheduled for Thursday. Severino's was scheduled for Friday. As I said in my State of the Phillies thing the other day, you know, deadlines work. in all walks of life, deadlines are effective. So, you know, apparently the Yankees and Severino reached a similar conclusion that we did.
Regardless of whether you sign one of these free agents, the team is better. The expectations are higher. Does that put more pressure on the manager? And you hear these rumblings. Well, if he doesn't get off to a good start, is that legitimate conversation?
I mean, I haven't talked about the pressures with Cap at all. We talk about getting off to a good start, but
right.
That's not driven by pressure. That's driven by we want to play in the playoffs, and every game counts. So
right.
The games in April count the same as the games in September, and we need to, you know, put ourselves in the best position to win. I can't speak for Cap. I can speak for myself, and I will say what I said, similar to what I said the other day. I don't really think pressure is the right word, and I think when you're talking about any competitive person in any industry, but certainly in the sports industry, a general manager, a player, an owner, I don't think you feel pressure the same way that you're asking
okay.
it. It's drive, it's passion, it's excitement, it's a strong hunger to win. And that it's not a fear of failure or a pressure that drives that. It's a hunger to win, and it's the competitive nature of people in this sport. So I'm going to speak for myself. I have never been more excited coming into a spring training than I am this year, because I've lived through the lean years, just like our fans have, you know, and there were times when that was really hard. I don't like losing. It sucks. But in terms of what we inherited 3.5 years ago, that was necessary for us to get where we wanted to go. We had to. It took time. And there's no better way to say it. It just takes time. And we have to play 162 games a year to pass the time, and losing sucks. So we're finally reaching the point, you know, a 14-game improvement last year, the additions we've made this year, where I think we go into this with real hopes and excitement that this could be a really fun year.
Okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it, and I wanted to move on the other day. Are the Phillies comfortable that this L.A. situation with Gabe is in the past and moving forward, okay?
I can't promise that something won't be regurgitated again at some point. You know, it's sort of had a nature now for the last 18 months or so to pop up periodically. So I don't know that we'll never hear about it again. But we, you know, I know Andy addressed this in pretty thorough detail yesterday. You know, our vetting process at the time that we hired Cap was really strong. And you know, and I think our fans know, how I feel about Cap. I think he's excellent at what he does. So, you know, we support him very strongly, and we're going to continue to do so.
All right, and I'll just leave you with this. And this is my issue with free agents. A player knows where he knows your organization. You had a nice, I understand it was a very nice meeting. Really not a lot of money discussion, but you got to know each other. He probably knows about, I'm assuming, San Francisco, knows about whatever other team he's talked to. If he wants to win, he knows the team that gives him the best chance. Why does it seem like it has to come down to money to make that decision? Why? I don't get it. It's driving me nuts. It's just, I want to go. I passed up, I'm going to tell you this quickly. When I changed stations from Channel 3, that was the first television station I started at in 1982. And then I moved to Channel 29 when they started their 10 o'clock news. I was going to take $100,000, back in that time, that was a lot of money, take $100,000 less to stay at Channel 3 if they'd have moved 10,000. Because I wanted to be someplace that I knew was going to be good. And why can't a guy just make a decision where he wants to play?
So two things on that front.
I'm sorry to go through my history.
No, it's okay. Couple things on that front. Number one is, I don't think we're in a position yet to say that we know what factors are driving a certain free agent. I'm not certain, but I would guess that money is at least one of them. But but we don't know that. Until a player signs, we don't know that. But I'm going to tell you this. There have been a couple times in my career where a player has signed not purely for the money. And again, not that the money was low by any
not
stretch.
Not chump change.
Jared Weaver signed an extension with the Angels about a year before he reached free agency. And at his press conference said, you know, I'm signing here because I like it here. I like living here. My family's in the area. I love this team. I love this manager. I love everything about it. And I don't need to get to free agency to maximize every penny because I'm where I want to be. They offered me a fair contract. I want to, and I want to take it. Jared Weaver, from that point forward, was a local hero. And he was really good, too. Right. You know, he's a local hero also because he was an awesome pitcher. But he was perceived as a local hero. And you know what I heard the other day when we sat at Aaron Nola's press conference? He said, it's not all about the money. I don't remember who asked the question, but he said that. He said, this is the right fit for me. It's not about the money. I love playing in this city. I love my teammates. I want to win here. And to me, I heard that, and I thought of Jared Weaver, and I thought, this is the guy that is a hero for saying that, for believing that. He wants to work. He wants to win. And I think that is such a refreshing thing to hear, what from any perspective, but certainly from a fan's perspective. So I don't think every player is like that. I really don't. And those are two that I have had in my own career that I've seen. And I'm certain there are dozens of others that have made similar decisions. But, you know, players work a long time to get to free agency. They work really hard. And a lot of players before them have worked to allow the economics of baseball to be what they are. And if a player wants to maximize their free agency and turn it into every penny that they can get, then good for them. They've earned that. They should be able to do that.
Well, if that's the case, you better hope Mike Trout doesn't think that way about staying.
And speaking of the Eagles, this is all coming full circle now. Yeah, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. I talk to him every time he's at a game, but I never talk baseball because that's not fair to him. Because he's coming there to enjoy a football game.
Good for you.
Yeah. So and I respect that of him. And he's a great guy. His family's terrific. They made a $2,700 donation. Mike did $2,700 because of his number.
I think
to
you
the
told
email.
Me that. I think you told
what
me
a before. What a terrific guy. But I respect the fact that he's coming there to enjoy a football game. And who knows what's going to happen? But obviously you know him from your days with the Angels. But you just hope he's not a Jared Weaver where he says, you know, it's not about the money. Yeah. And that guy just wants to play baseball. That's what it's great about him. And that's why Rob Manfred was wrong. And I think he realized it when he said he's got to market himself better. You know what? No, he doesn't. You do. Rob Manfred does, because that guy just wants to play baseball. And he wants to play it to the best of his ability. And he's the best player in baseball. And who knows, someday he might be the best player ever in baseball. I don't know if he'll play with the Phillies, but I know you're not allowed to talk about him. So I just, but
good read, Howard.
It's a good thing that you have a past history with him. Matt, I do have fun talking to you, and I enjoy it, and I appreciate it. Because even though I think you probably sped up the process from what you wanted to do a couple of years ago on trying to get this team better, it seems like it's all fit and it's the right dynamic. I don't know if you sped up the process from the way you projected it when you started. But is it a little bit of a speed?
This is the God's honest truth. I think when you come into a new situation and you're in the early stages of a rebuild, you don't know. I didn't know exactly what the time frame would be. You probably remember my expression saying that the players will dictate our timeline. And that's a, you know, that's somewhat of a hedge.
Right.
It's a better way of saying I don't know. But it's true. You know, if Aaron Nola doesn't develop into a front of the rotation guy, if Rhys Hoskins doesn't come up and become a key cog in our lineup, we may still be a year or two away from that. But because those guys and many others get to where they are, that puts us in a position to make the free agent additions that we do or make the trades that we do. So, you know, you have to be willing at the early stages of a rebuild to trust trust the process, if you will.
Stop. The process never works. You don't trust anything.
That's working okay over there.
No. It's trust the
good.
Branding, Elden
okay.
Brand.
Okay, I got
I've
you.
Rephrased it.
But you know, you have to believe in what you're doing, set your course, and be open-minded to pivot at different times. And you know, going into last offseason, I would not have guessed we would have signed Jake Arrieta. But the way that the offseason unfolded and our need for a starting pitcher and our ownership's commitment to allowing us to explore opportunities, even high-priced opportunities, that allowed that to happen. Did that speed things up? don't know if it sped things up. It made us a better team last year, and it, you know, it served as a helpful platform for us this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't the first time we're sort of getting into free agency again and courting big players. We did some of that last year. So I think it was helpful. And, you know, it's, you know, that's the beauty of baseball. You know, you go into an offseason and you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You explore a ton of different things and you line up on some of them. You don't line up on others. But, you know, when pitchers and catchers roll out there, it's, you know, it's a time to play baseball.
And you have a great owner who wants to spend money and has the passion to win and do whatever it takes.
Ownership. I mean, it's certainly John, but it's really our whole group ownership dynamic together is really good.
It's always a pleasure. My pleasure. I'll let you know that this one time. Anyway,
thanks,
at the right of spring, Matt Klentak.
He said a lot of interesting things. And one of the things that kind of stuck with me, and it's interesting, the teams really are not comfortable anymore with giving really 8-year contracts, but certainly 10-year contracts, which if you believe everything that you read, the contract that Scott Boras wants for Bryce Harper is 10 years. Well, the reality of that, I do not believe, from what I've been told, that it will begin 10 years of guaranteed money. But here's the problem, and the interesting thing that Matt Klentak touched on, with the elimination of PEDs, for the most part, players don't stay young as long. In other words, they're not as productive as long. And when they get into their 30s, it's really, the value has really changed. And that is part of the problem with teams giving out, which really, when you look at the past, are bad contracts. Bad contracts, because anything 10 years, how do you project? Because teams don't pay on past performance anymore. They use analytics, and I know the agents don't want to hear it. They want to use analytics to tell you how good a player is, but they don't want the teams to use them to determine, really, does a player's productivity last down the line. And they're using different formulas of analytics to determine that. That's why 10-year contracts are not very good. And the players whining is ridiculous. The market is the market. And when I hear, will you pay a player what he's worth? He's only worth, I mean, nobody's established a price. It's not like you walk into an apartment store and this is the price on whatever you're going to buy. Nobody has determined a price or a value. The teams set the market. And if they have determined, and the market is what they're willing to pay you, and if they have determined a player is not worth $300 million for 10 years, but he might be worth $260 or $270 million for 8 years, then that's the price. These players just whine. And the reason that there's so few free agents signed, it's obvious that they're all waiting for Harper and Machado for multiple reasons. One, to see what teams really need now. And I don't know that there's that many teams going after Harper or Machado, but also determine a value. You may have noticed when Aaron Nola signed for 4 years for $45 million with a fifth option year for the Phillies, but 45 for 4 years, I'm saying that really is a great contract for the Phillies. Well, 2 days later, the Yankees signed their young pitcher, Cerevino, for $40 million for 4 years. So that's the price. That's what the market is, and that's the price that has been set. Now, as far as who makes the Phillies better, I think they both add to the Phillies. The Phillies are already a better team. They are a better team. They added McCutchen in left, improved their defense. Segura at short, improved their defense. Realmuto as the catcher, improved their defense. That's where they were absolutely horrible. Terrible, horrible last year, and they've improved that. If they get Harper, they'll be better. If they get Machado, I think, and you got to look at the left-handed, right-handed situation. They need probably a left-hander in the lineup, but Harper is such an average defensive player in the outfield. He's not really going to improve anything defensively, where Machado at third base would really make you better defensively. And their offensive numbers, if you look over the last 4 years, are really very similar. I like Machado because I think he does more for the Phillies, even though they probably could use another left-handed bat. I like Machado over Harper, but don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Either one, either player will make the Phillies a better team. Now, as far as the NBA All-Star game, I watched the first half and I had enough. It's just the same thing over and over. It gets boring. It's a three-point shooting contest and everybody dunks because no player plays defense. The reality is there's no defense played. That's why the score is what it is. And it's just a three-point shooting contest in a game. It is schoolyard plus because the players are better than you'll find in the schoolyard. And after one half, I had enough. It doesn't do anything for me. I know they can shoot. I know players can shoot. I know players can. Everybody in the NBA can dunk. Everybody. So that doesn't move me. And the three-point shots don't move me either. There is no All-Star game. None. That really is any good. So at the time of this recording, we'll see what happens with the Phillies. And right now, nothing has been done with Machado or Harper or Machado, whichever way you want to look at it. But don't think the agent, Scott Boras, isn't playing people. That's what he's doing. He's trying to give information that I don't believe is totally accurate to writers to put it out there to try to get teams to up their offers and pay more money. Because I really don't believe, I know what the reports say, just based on what I've been told, and I haven't been given specific numbers, but I've been given ideas, I don't think anybody, even though you saw a report that Washington offered Bryce Harper $300 million for 10 years and he turned it down, I don't believe any team has offered Bryce Harper $300 million for 10 years guaranteed. I don't believe that has happened. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Again, thanks. And thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Matt Klentak on the Howard Eskin Podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.